Morning, everyone. Wow, what an incredible morning we have having already. And I hope that what I'm going to be sharing with you this morning will really bless you and transform your life in some way. And Lord, I just pray that I will get out of the way of anything that you don't want me to say, and that the words that come out today will be from you. You know, since October, we have been looking at our vision themes of rebuilding ruins, of building bridges and creating culture. We've done a couple of months on each of those, with Christmas and Easter as well. And it's time for us to move on to this new and exciting theme, I Am, the attributes of God. We want to dive more deeply into the character of who our God is. It's going to be really exciting, and hopefully, over the next couple of months, there'll be things that you've forgotten that you remember. And there'll be things that you've never heard of before that just are added to the big picture of who God is in your life. And I pray for people here today who don't yet know Jesus, that today will be the day that you suddenly realize that this is the life that you've been longing for. You know, my brother, Dave, has just become a brother. He is a brother already. He's just become a dad. Good. I shouldn't read. If I just spoke, it'd be easier. My brother has just become a dad, and that is very exciting. He's just had a little daughter, and it's the second girl in the family. So Aria was the first, and now she has a little cousin girl. There's lots of boys around, but it's nice that those two are going to grow up quite near each other's ages. And they spent a couple of days thinking about the name, and then they settled upon Phoebe Rose. So Phoebe Rose Sims has been added to the family. And she is just such a little cutie. It's really incredible to have her. And I remember our process of naming Aria a couple of years ago. You look at her, you think, is that the name? We've got a short list, but where do we go? The boys' names now, obviously, they're out the window. Now let's just go with these ones. What does she look like? How does this work? And the name Aria means a melody or an air in Italian. And it's also part of an operatic piece. So Nessun Dorma, you know, we all know the song Nessun Dorma, that's an aria. And it's a song, it's a particular song. And so it was right for us to name her that. And her middle name is Hope, because we felt that is such a strong word. And we pray that she grows up with the hope of Jesus. And those names meant a lot to us. People in our society spend a great deal of time thinking about baby names. Questions you ask yourself are, what do they sound like on a baby versus a toddler versus someone at school versus an adult at work? Do they still want to be called that name? How do they shorten? What are they going to sound like with our local regional accent? If all of the THs becomes Fs, do they still work quite nicely? What do they mean? We go through books of everything. It's like, almost every other girl's name seems to mean princess, but you know, you go through the books and they're all in there. Here's something that I thought was really funny as I was looking into this. Time magazine in December 2013 published an article on some of the more unusual baby names that have actually been registered, not just nicknames, but registered for babies in the US. Now, this is a scary thing to do, because I may be picking your favourite that you've just been waiting to use, and I'm just about to go, ha, who would do that? But I'm assuming from this list, you probably won't, and if you do, come and see me afterwards. First one, there were three babies in the States called Mushroom. Now, probably not going for Mushroom. There were three Elbows, which is a good name. Two children have been called Swag. It's good. Three children in the US have actually been called Butt. Yes. Well, don't get upset for them. You're supposed to laugh. Three have actually been registered as Poopy. Two, Superman. That's actually brilliant. Two, Hot Dog. Come on. Hot Dog. Fantastic. There are six Butterbeans out there. Three have been called Phone, as in that spelling, Phone. And unbelievably, 34, you just look into the crib, don't you? What should we call them? 34 parents thought Freak was a good name. Yeah, so if they were your favourites, apologies. And the thing that I loved about the article is that the title of the article was Have You Met My Kids? Panda, Phone and Cheese. I think absolutely brilliant. So some people pick names because they pore over them for a long time, and other people, they just go with what might be on vogue. They think it's quite cool, and that's okay. But in our country, even the people who ponder it for a long time, we don't have an understanding of the importance of names that other cultures do. There's a lovely guy that we know in Uganda called Happy, and it is just such a brilliant name, and he is. It's the name that speaks about who he is. But in biblical times, your name spoke prophetically about your character and your attributes. It spoke about your nature. Names were so important that we know that God even changed some of them. He renamed Abraham, Abraham, from exalted father to father of nations or father of a multitude, even before he'd had his first child. Sarai was renamed by Sarah as Sarah by God, the mother of many nations. That is Abraham's wife. In Genesis 32, Jacob wrestled with God. And in verse 28, God renamed him Israel, one who struggles with God. In the New Testament, Simon was renamed by Peter as Jesus. Oh my gosh. Simon, I tell you what, let me let you in on an inside track. I got to 9 o'clock last night and I felt God say, I'm not sure about your message. I love it when he does that. So then I was working quite late, and then when the alarm went off this morning, I was working again. And so I'm sorry that I'm tired, but I know that God wants us to hear this. Good. Boring inside track, really. So Simon was renamed Peter by Jesus. And around Acts 13, Saul drops his name as Saul and starts being known as Paul from that moment on, as he begins his ministry journey to the Gentiles. Perhaps that name was more palatable. There are a few reasons as to why he may have done that. But changing names, or names, were very important and are very important. So what about our God? I was thinking about this and I thought of the words that we use, God and Lord. They don't really reveal to us in the English enough about his incredible nature and his character. I might wake up in the morning, as I do, and say, morning, Lord. Morning, Lord. Thanks for this new day. Dear Lord, or we may get to that point of God, help me. God, help me in this situation. Lord and God, they don't paint the rich picture of his names. Our English translations and our culture of not having a lot hidden behind a name can hide God's character behind a curtain. And so over the next couple of months, we're going to draw back those curtains and we're going to let the light in on who Jesus is. Now, if you're quite new to church, I'm going to do something that's strange. I'm going to start singing an old chorus. What happens then is that everyone who knows it can't resist. And before you know it, if you're young, you'll look around and think, what has just happened? What are they all doing? They're all singing this crazy old song. So, don't worry, if you catch on, join in. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Here we go. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We are cool, aren't we? Blessed be the name of the Lord. And now I'm a dad, I can do dad dancing. Hi. We need to sing that again. 1, 2, 3, 4. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You can slur your way into it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Most high. Give me a verse. The name of the Lord is good, a strong tower. Lovely clapping at the front. Oh, we got this. Come on, people are doing this, the actions. And they are saying, who's going to cheer? Hooray! The name of the Lord is. We're nearly there. Don't worry, everyone. If you're in pain, it's nearly over. It's like the dentist. The righteous run into it. And they are saved. Hooray! Well, there we go. Proverbs 18:10. It's funny how we learn so much and remember so much of what we know about God from the lyrics of songs. Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a fortified or strong tower. The righteous run to it and they are saved. Have you ever needed a strong tower to run to? A safe place when you're under attack? Do you remember playing in the school playgrounds? Some of you may still do that. When you were chasing around and trying to catch someone, but there was one place that was always home. If you could get to that particular bench in the playground, people would run past you, but you'd be safe. And there's always people who make up things that are home. You're running and you get close and they're like, I'm home. This speaker's home as well. You're like, no, this speaker isn't home. I'm standing on one leg. That's home. No, it isn't. Let me push you over. But people wanted to get to somewhere that was safe, that place of home. When you're playing a wide game in the park and you've got to capture a certain tree, it's amazing how you've got the adrenaline pumping and you're really, really nervous about getting caught and getting to that one place. And the moment you get to that place, it's like complete safety. I did it. The pressure's off. This place is home. Perhaps you've watched Spooks or a Jason Bourne style film and they're desperately running to get to the embassy. If they can just get themselves into that embassy, then they're going to be safe. Perhaps you've been walking home at night and you feel a bit uneasy and there's an incredible sense of safety when you finally get in the door and you shut the door behind you. Even though it's that thick, it feels that thick because it just gives you that sense of safety, that safe place. I remember one day when Nikki and I needed a strong tower to run to, a place of safety. We'd gone out for a holiday in the Matlock area. We spent one day in Matlock, and when we were walking back to our car, suddenly we saw, about 100 metres away, this funny thing in the sky. We're looking at it thinking, what is that? And suddenly people start screaming and running, and we realise it's a swarm of bees. Now, I've read a bit more about bees recently. I know that when they swarm, they're actually not that dangerous, but they just appear to be. But anyway, they look scary, and people are screaming. And, you know, there's a good theory that they're not dangerous, but if a swarm's coming, you tend to go anyway, check it out from somewhere else. Don't check it out in the middle and go, oh, you're right. We're fine in here. Anyway, the swarm's coming, and people are screaming and running left, right, and centre. And suddenly, this swarm, I swear, it looked like it liked us. Something that Nikki was wearing, I was wearing, I don't know. I was wearing a sort of a flowery shirt with a big daisy on it. No, I wasn't. But we were, suddenly, this thing seemed to make a beeline for us. And here it came. Thank you. Get back to your notes, Pete. It's safer. So this bee swarm is coming at us, and suddenly, we are legging it towards our car, and this swarm is getting closer and closer, and you're like, it didn't have a bleeper. I'm like, get the key in the car, got in, slammed the door behind us, just as this entire swarm sort of enveloped our car. They were slamming into the windows. They were in a real problem with us, and it was a scary moment. And I was thinking, oh my gosh, if the first one comes through the vent, that is it. I've seen this in the films. We'll be just swollen up. It's gonna be terrible. What a way to go. And so we managed to get the car started and get moving and get out of the way, and suddenly the swarm lifted and went chasing the next load of people. we obviously got out to help them. No. We drove off very quickly, thinking, thank goodness, let's hope we don't see anything in the papers. every now and again in life, we need a place of refuge that we can run to that feels like a safe place to us. And in the early days of Hebrew history, in the time of the judges, remembering the story of Gideon. Gideon's in the wine press. Why is that? Because the Midianites and the Amalekites, they used to run and come in. And for 7 years, they were just sieging the land. They would take everything that was there to be taken, all of the crops. But they would just strip the land bare like locusts. And one such attack is in Judges 9 when Thebez was captured. And it says this. Inside the city, however, was a strong tower to which all the men and women, all the people of the city had fled. They had locked themselves in and climbed up on the tower roof. And from that place, actually, they were able to win their victory. In a British castle, the strong tower would be the keep. And I've been to Carcassonne and various places where you've got all these layers of defence. And if you breach the first layer of defence, there's another layer. If you breach the next layer, there's another layer. And right in the middle, there's this keep, this fortified place that is the hardest place to breach. And that's the sort of place we're talking about, a strong tower. These strong towers, in Hebrew, they're called Migdal Oz. Sorry about the pronunciation. Which I actually believe is the name of a kibbutz in Israel at the moment. It's interesting. These strong towers, Migdal Oz, used to have plentiful supplies of food and water so that the siege could be survived. This word, Migdal Oz, is found a couple of times to describe God. One of them is in Psalm 61, verses 2 to 3. From the ends of the earth I call to you. I call as my heart grows faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the foe. So that's where God is first referred to as this Migdal Oz, as this place of refuge, this strong tower. And then as we know in Proverbs 18:10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, the righteous run to it and are safe. It's interesting, I think, that it says that the name of the Lord is a strong tower, because it would be okay for us reading it, wouldn't it, if it just said, the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to him and they're safe. That would be fine. But it's the name of the Lord. That word Shem, it does just mean name as we know it, but it also can mean renown or reputation, which I think is quite interesting. The renown, the reputation. The name of our Lord is a strong tower. And in your Bible, if you've been reading along, if you have a look at this verse, you'll probably see that Lord is in capital letters. And that means that it's the Hebrew word that we pronounce as Yahweh or Jehovah. It means unchanging, eternal, self-existent God. It means I am that I am, the covenant-keeping God. It means merciful and faithful. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. But if we only know him as God, then we're missing out on so much. So even that word Lord there, let me say it again, it means unchanging, eternal, self-existent God. I am that I am, a covenant-keeping God who keeps his promises, merciful and faithful God. He reveals some of that when he in Exodus, as he speaks of himself. It's the name, renown and reputation, his character and attributes that are the strong tower that we can run to in times of trouble. Do you know him? Do you really know him as those things? Would you like to? We've been singing a song recently called What a Beautiful Name It Is. It is a beautiful and powerful name, but it's so much more than perhaps we understood. Are you in times of trouble? Do you need to run into the arms of the Lord and know him as your strong tower today? Do you need to know him as your place of safety from the storm? We all will at some time in our lives. So who is this God? What are some other names that give us insight into his character? I want to dig a little bit more deeply, very briefly, into some more names. Over the past few months, Psalm 23 has been increasingly important to me. It's such a beautiful psalm. It's so comforting. It used to be my favourite because it was the only one I knew. Do you know any psalms? Yeah, I know Psalm 23. But now it's my favourite. Full stop. It's so beautiful. It brings such comfort. And in looking at it more deeply, I think I'm beginning to understand why. Because it's not only beautifully poetic and full of incredible imagery, fabulous words, but it's full of hidden treasure too. And I first heard of this many, many years ago, but I never did anything with it. And it suddenly just come to remembrance that lots of names of God are hidden in this psalm. And so we're going to look at a few today, and hopefully it will transform the way that you see this psalm. Let's have a look at it. I won't have time to give examples of all of them, but you can look this up. Psalm 23. This is funny, isn't it? When you know scripture, there are certain versions of it I know. I normally know the NIV, but on this psalm, I know the New King James. So here it is. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's beautiful, isn't it? The Lord is my shepherd. Oh, when it comes to pronunciations, you just have to bear with me. I may just put them all up there and say, you can read it. This one I think is easy, Rohi, but it may not be pronounced like that. Jehovah Rohi, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is in block capitals. So therefore it's the Lord, which is translated Yahweh, which therefore means the unchanging, eternal, self-existent, I am that I am, covenant-keeping, merciful and faithful God is my shepherd. That's crazy. Just to pause there for a moment. He's my shepherd personally. He's your shepherd personally. He cares for you. He loves you. He looks out for you. He feeds you. He'd risk everything for you and did risk everything for you and gave everything for you. He protects you. He protects me. I've spoken on this before a few years back, but it's worth remembering that if he's my shepherd, then I'm a sheep. So if you came to church today with, you know, feeling that you needed a positive word to reinforce who you are a sheep. There's one. There's us. Sheep. Why sheep? A few things. We flock. We like doing things together. That's what sheep do. They're designed to flock together and not be isolated. And with us, it means we're designed to assemble, to congregate, to meet, to gather together. But how often the enemy tries to separate us? To make us think we can live our Christian life on our own if we've just got our Bible and our prayer room. And those things are great, but we're designed to be together. We need each other. Together we are strong. Sheep are instinctive followers. When one moves, the rest follow. The question is, what are we following? We instinctively follow something. So if we're not following Jesus, what are we following? Let's stick close to him. Sheep are stubborn and don't like change, which is great. It's a good trait because it means we can hold fast to what we believe in. But sometimes Jesus may be trying to move us in a certain direction and we're just stubborn, we dig our heels in, we don't want to go. And sheep need a shepherd. They die without one. They can't locate their own pasture, their water pools. Sheep must have a leader and must be told what to do and where to go, otherwise they wander off and get lost. The Lord is my shepherd. He loves me, he looks out for me, he cares for me, he feeds me, he risks his life for me, he protects me. I shall not want. This speaks of Jehovah Jireh. He's my shepherd, but he's also Jireh, the Lord who provides. Other translations say the Lord who sees. The Lord who sees to it. Do you need to know that today? That he's the Lord who sees what's going on. He's your provider. I've got so many testimonies of God's financial and other provisions in our lives. It is ridiculous. It's ridiculous, the provision of God in our lives. And just as an aside, I didn't know whether to say this, but I just think it's right. If you think to yourself, I never get any exciting stories of God's provision in my life, I'm going to challenge how you hold on to your money. If you hold it tight and keep it, because that's you've only just got enough to scrape by and you have to hold on really tight and it's yours, sorry God, but you can't really have it, it gives God very little opportunity to play the generosity game. You can't outgive God. But if you keep giving away what you have, say, Lord, we've only got £300 and it's got to last us this amount of time. Oh my gosh, and you're saying, could you please give £200 to those people? Lord, what am I going to do? Well, what we're going to do is say, yeah, of course, give you 200, we'll trust God. Suddenly someone out of the blue phones up and says, felt the Lord said, give you 250 quid. Those sorts of those things have happened so regularly, it's ridiculous. But in being generous, we give God an opportunity to be generous back. Just a little aside, if you want those faith stories and adventures and testimonies, it's normally money that holds us back. And some people will be smarting at me saying it, but I think it needs to be said occasionally. Other stories of God given huge provision. I remember being on a mountain in the Lake District. This is God who sees and sees to it. We're up there, and you know we're not fair weather mountain walkers, but we're not like ice pick carriers. We have a whistle and a map and a few bits and bobs, but normally it's like, oh, nice blue sky day, check the weather down below, check the weather up, it looks okay, let's go. We're that type of people. We got to the top of one mountain and the weather completely changed. It was horizontal snow. It was so cold. You know, we've got a couple of layers on and a jacket, but it was freezing up there and we couldn't see a thing and we were completely lost. There's no way we'd have seen halfway back down the auditorium. It was just dense. And we didn't know where we were. We're looking for the next little pile of rocks, but we're like, we've got a pile of rocks, but where are we supposed to go from here? It was a nightmare. It's me, my brother, and my dad. And we were thinking, we don't know where we're supposed to go. And me and my bro, we're looking at the map, just freezing fingered, thinking, I think it's that way. I think it's there. Dad, we think it's down there. He said, really? I think it's over there. What would he know? Come on, Dad, you've only been doing this for 50 years. We, the boys, with youth, we think it's this way. Anyway, so he's like, okay, I think it's that way, but if you guys are sure, let's go. And so we're just about to start down that route. We think, oh, okay, I don't know what to do. And then suddenly I thought, oh, I'll pray. I'm like, Lord, please, can you show us the way? Because on the map, there are only two areas that look noticeable. They look like spaceships to me. One looked a bit like the Flight of the Navigator. Compliance. If you've seen that film when it goes long, whoop, there it is. It's that shape. Compliance over there, and let's say it looked like the Millennium Falcon Lake over there. They're the only two things. I'm like, Lord, please, can you help us? And suddenly, when I looked over in this direction, a little gap in the cloud appeared, which was ridiculous, all the way down about a mile and a half to compliance, and suddenly the cloud went back again. I was like, oh my gosh, that lake's there. I'm standing still, and suddenly the Millennium Falcon. All right, just because you don't like Flight of the Navigators, no need to leave. So I look over this way, and we've got the Millennium Falcon suddenly cleared, and then it came in again, and we realized, actually, God, that is such amazing provision. You are God who sees and who sees to it. That was phenomenal. And my dad said, which way do you think we should go, boys? And we're like, that way, Dad. He's like, yeah, I know. I knew it was that way, but I just need to let you guys grow up in your navigation skills. But God was incredible in that way. What are you crying out to God for at the moment, small and big? The Lord sees, he will see to it. He's the Lord who provides. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside quiet waters. Jehovah Shalom. The Lord who gives peace, the Lord my peace. His name brings fresh, refreshing and nourishment, the grass and the water. But more than that, in the busyness of our lives, his name, understanding his name, brings us peace. In the storms of life, he is our peace. In the turmoil, in the confusion, in the distress, in the heartache, he is peace. Will you allow him to lead you today? Because he wants to lead us beside those refreshing places. But we have a choice to dig our heels in and say no. Or we have a choice to step in to the peace that passes all understanding when we're allowing our shepherd to lead us. He restores my soul, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. Do you need to know the healer this morning? Remember, these are his names. These are his character, his incredible nature. It's who he is. He is the Lord who heals. We don't need to force it from him. Do you need healing for your body, your mind, your emotions, your spirit? The name of the Lord is a strong tower, a place of refuge and healing. Run into it. Run into the arms of Jesus today. He guides me along right paths for his name's sake. Here's one to pronounce. I suppose it's Tsidkenu. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. He's the one who makes us right with God. If we've accepted Jesus into our hearts, we're seen incredibly as faultless, as innocent, as guiltless. Don't you think that's amazing? Will you let him guide you today along those paths? You may be feeling lost or led astray. And you may be quite new to church and you don't know that there's a story in the New Testament where there's a shepherd who has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost and he leaves the 99 to go looking for the one and risks a great deal to bring them back home. Are you that lost sheep today? Because Jesus is the shepherd and he's coming looking for you if you've got a bit lost. I remember at uni, I was a lost sheep. I grew up with a strong faith and a strong Christian background, but at uni I realized that it wasn't a living and an alive faith. It was more intellectual, good grounding. But suddenly I was free and I lived a life that I regret. When I was that lost sheep, he guided me back when I allowed him to. He opened the doors for me for a new beginning, a new start, and I joined TVB. That was the band in which I was going to meet Nikki, and my life would never be the same again. And I could reinvent myself as the person I wish I had been, because when I look back on uni, I don't see them as the glory years. I see them as years when I really didn't represent Jesus. And if that is the only opportunity those people get to see what a saved life looks like, I am gutted. I just pray that those people get to know a different story than the one I showed them. But even if you have wandered far astray, the great thing is that our God's mercies are new every morning. Every day is a new start. You could have screwed up yesterday, doesn't matter. This is today. And he wants to lead you along right paths and to see you as faultless, innocent, and guiltless. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I love this one. This speaks of Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. What a great name of God. The Lord is there. Similar to Emmanuel that we know of, speaking of Jesus, God with us. The Lord is there. We can't escape Jehovah Shammah. He's with us and he's with you in the good, the bad and the ugly. When we're rejoicing and when we're mourning, his name is the Lord is there. When we're singing and we're dancing or when we're holding our heads in our hands, the Lord is there. Wherever you find yourself today and whatever you're going through, know the name of the Lord. He is Jehovah Shammah. He is there with you. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Jehovah Nissi, this speaks of. The Lord, my banner. This is the name of God that was first used when Joshua was fighting. Moses was on the hillside, and when he held his arms in the air, Joshua and the army saw victory. But when his arms got tired and they fell down, the enemy took victory. And so two friends, Aaron and Hur, came and held Moses' hands in the air for hours and hours so that the victory could be won. Now, normally, the commander of the army would have been celebrated for that victory, but not in this instance. Moses knew whose victory it was. And name that place Jehovah Nissi. The Lord is my banner. The Lord is victorious. He fights for me. He fights for you. Even in the presence of your enemies, you are victorious. Even when life is turning in on you and it feels tough, you are victorious. And Jesus is there making a victory banquet for you in the presence of your enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. This speaks of Jehovah Manah, our portion, and Jehovah Shelech, the Lord, my inheritance. He's what we've been given. He is enough. He's our everything. He's our inheritance now and in the future. It cannot be taken from us. He is our reward. I know it's been a bit fast, but there are so many of God's attributes hidden inside this incredible psalm. The Jews would have known it. The Jews would have known it. And then one day Jesus would tell them, I am the good shepherd. For us, we really focus on just a couple of things about shepherding and a little thing about being good. But the Jewish mindset could have seen so much more. The Lord is my shepherd, and he's the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. This is incredible. You see, the names of God are so important. They help us to understand who he is and what he's like. And over the next couple of months, as we dive deeper and we get these attributes into our head, it's going to transform the way that we think, and I think it's going to transform the way we live. In scratching the surface today, this is what we've uncovered. That he is the unchanging, eternal, self-existent God. I am that I am, covenant-keeping God. He's merciful and faithful. God is my shepherd and we are his sheep. He's Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides, the one who sees. He's Jehovah Shalom, the Lord who gives peace. He's Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. He's Jehovah Tzidkenu, the Lord our righteousness, who makes us right with God. He's Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. He's Jehovah Nissi, our banner, who gives us victory over our enemies. He is our portion and our inheritance. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Those who love Jesus run into it and they are saved. And we have an opportunity to run into him today. Those are just a handful of his names, and there are so many. But I pray as you go away, have a look, try do some reading over the next couple of months into the names of God. I pray that it will make your understanding of who Jesus is so much richer, and it will be such a huge blessing to you. I did say earlier on that I would give an opportunity for anybody who doesn't yet know Jesus but would like to do that today. Perhaps you just think, I would love to run into that. I need a bit of that. I don't understand everything, but there's something you've got that I want. Then I would love to introduce you to Jesus today. I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond, and I know this is the way that we sometimes do it here. So everyone, could you just put your, sort of bow your heads and shut your eyes so that there's a bit of privacy? That would be fantastic, thank you. If you feel that you would like to step into this relationship with Jesus for the first time today, Would you mind sticking your hand up in the air for me? No one else can see. It's just an opportunity for me to know whether there's anybody who would like to do that today. Let's give you about 10 seconds. Thank you. If you want to pop to see me at the end of the service, I'll come and find you and we can have a chat and a pray together. That would be fantastic. Let me pray for all of us. Lord, I thank you for how much depth there is in your names. Lord, I thank you that you love us, that you are our shepherd. And Lord, I pray that our eyes will be open to understand even more clearly what that means. Lord, I pray that in every season of life, we would run to you and we would find our rest in you. We would find our security in you and not in other things. Thank you, Lord, that you are our strong tower and that we can run to you. Amen. Teas and coffee's over there. If you're a visitor or you'd like to just meet some new people, please come over.